T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Off and running, our fourth and final hour here of Sports Talk. A little Thunderstruck to get us going. Charlie Long at Master Control. He's got his helmet on. He's ready to run down the field, make a special teams tackle. You know those Hutch plastic helmets, football helmets?
You mean that you get for Christmas?
Yeah.
They tell you they put like a sticker on it.
Do not use
for contact. Yeah. Or anything.
So I put one of those on the other day just to have some fun, like just to make my kids laugh. I fill up every part of that face mask. Like there's no.
So like the Sir Saint mascot.
Wait,
did they take a picture of you, Christian? No.
I got a picture of it.
Oh, you gotta send it to me. You probably won't. You probably be still like.
No, I'm not too embarrassed by it. But I mean, we have one, you know, and it's just sitting there, and I was like, you know,
the Hutch, yeah, the Hutch.
Let me just see, and I looked ridiculous. It was so ridiculous.
No, what was so crazy, you know, you play around in your neighborhood and all that, so you're all excited. You got this at Christmas or whatever, and you got a uniform. Well, they'd be the Cowgirls, the Packers. It could be the Saints, whatever. And Christian, they tell you, no, do not, like this is just for show. Do not, like, this is not a legitimate helmet. I can remember in our neighborhood.
Y'all still went out there and used them.
Oh, used them. Christian, it'd be all, like, split open. Like, just getting, like, jacked and all of a sudden. And then you're a little kid and you're kind of staggering and you look at their helmet. And it's done. You got to throw it away because it just split in half.
I'm telling you, so Bobby, you've recalled some of your epic tackle football games growing up as a kid. I think those are some of my best memories as a child, is playing in the backyard, and it was the same way as you pointed out. It was no pads, and we were knocking the heck out of each other.
No,
it really didn't matter the age. There was no, if you were eight, 9, and someone was 13, there wasn't no going easy on you.
No, so you got to just trip them. If you're 8-year-old and you can't tackle a 13-year-old, maybe you could get tangled in their legs and get them down. You could trip them, but you can't be, you don't want to play. No, I can remember like you playing a game and then it's real intense and you're all excited. And then if you had to use the bathroom, you just went off on the side and you just wee-weed off the side of the field and you came back and played.
Yeah, there was no locker room to go into.
No locker room.
Can you imagine this too? So in the Marine Corps, we played 8-man football. Can you imagine a bunch of Marines playing 8-man football? Think about that.
So I could see that being intense.
Intense, yeah, and complete reckless abandon. You know, look, some of us were, if we broke our ankle in light duty for 3 or 4 months, and we're non-deployable.
Yeah, no, you got that. Yeah, so, listen, it happened.
Yeah, I was playing a sport.
The camaraderie.
I was encouraged to play by my company commander. Oh, I hurt my knee.
Yeah, the camaraderie. You know, we used to play up there, Christian, I don't know if you ever did this. I think a lot of fans could recall this. I don't know. This day and age, they're probably playing video games. They don't do this. You go outside, and it's not even like plays or anything. It was called 1-2-3 blueberry tackle.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're in a pile.
And you got to get rid of the ball.
And you throw up the ball, and whoever catches it, everyone gets to knock the crap out of them or tackle them.
Yeah.
And then you get tackled, then you do the same thing.
Yeah,
and it goes on and on. 1-2-3 blueberry tackle. And then you go and just hit people, and there's no pads. I mean, now, did they even do that on the playground?
I doubt it.
No,
they play a lot of flag.
They probably
flag.
Think that's barbaric.
Two-hand touch, flag. I remember being stationed at West Point, some of the best youth games we had. We had a big, long field in our neighborhood. It was about 80 yards. But during the snow, when it would snow outside, we'd all get out there, and you wouldn't feel anything. You couldn't run because I'm talking about like 8-9 inches of snow.
Right, right.
But you'd tackle somebody and you'd rub their face into the snow.
Yeah, it's like a football snowball fight. Yeah. So you rub their face in the snow.
Fond memories.
But tackle football. You know what's crazy when you think about it now, Christian? Probably if you're in a neighborhood and they're going to play tackle football with no equipment and you're on somebody's property, oh, no, you can't do that. Get sued.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Sued? We would get back in a pickup truck. 14 kids in the back of a pickup truck, you get arrested for doing that and go play against another neighborhood. Okay, just haul everybody. All the kids jump in the back of the pickup truck. We're going to play this other neighborhood. No pads, no equipment, and we're tackling.
Not even a mouthpiece.
And then, okay, and I can tell you, no, mouthpiece? What? Mouthpiece? Okay, even if you had to go to the bathroom, number two, I'm not talking about number one, you TT on the sideline. I even had, my cousin one time, number two in his pants, then nobody wanted to tackle him because he stunk so bad. I mean, what? No, so you had those kind of situations. Okay, Christian, let's say you get hit hard.
Bobby, I'm gagging.
No, let's say you get hit hard. I get hit hard, and you're crying. There's nothing wrong with crying. If you hurt, you hurt.
Playing.
But you can't keep crying. Okay, if you cry, go on the sideline, and then you got to quit crying, and you can come back and play. If you continue to cry, then you got to go home. I'm not going to say, I know you hurt, and you're crying, go on the sideline, and then you got to quit crying, you come back in the game. If you're going to continue to cry, you got to go.
A few times?
Man, I had broken collarbone, all kind of stuff. Like the 12, 13-year-olds slamming me and stuff. They went and ring the doorbell, dropped me off. My mom said, I don't know. I can't do anything for you. Just go sit on the couch till your daddy gets home. I went and get a cast on my collarbone. My dad said, come on. We got to go to LSU Mississippi State game. We can't be late. What? Come on. There ain't no sympathy.
He's Bobby. I'm Christian talking to Tulane football sideline reporter Matty Hudak next here on Sports Talk on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby and Christian. Matty Hudak, Tulane football sideline reporter, joining us now. Matty, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Is this your first time on this? Is this your maiden voyage on our show?
Well, yeah, it's our maiden voyage. Matty,
is
your maiden voyage on our show? But also, did you bring Tulane good luck being the sideline reporter? Because when you're around, they win, right?
Well, you could make the argument that I was there last year,
okay.
So it kind of evened itself out. But
okay.
It is one of the, if not the best season of this century. So I'll take some undeserved credit.
Matty, what has Tajay Spears meant to this football team?
Oh, he's just the heart of this team. I mean, you can talk about him as a player or him as a person, but just his ability to change every single snap. He can receive, he can run any direction, outside zone, up the middle. He is one of the most tough blockers I've ever seen. And that Kansas State win doesn't happen if Tajay Spears doesn't push Michael Pratt over that. fourth down on the quarterback sneak play, and that's not the first time he's done that this season. So he's just such a team player. After the first drive against Cincinnati, I remember Willie Fritz pulling him aside and telling him to keep everyone calm, and I think that really just says, you know, how important he is to this team.
Maddie, Jaquan Jackson went to Hanville. I knew him, I got to see him play when he was at Hanville, and got to interact with him. What a terrific young man. And he just seems like he's always got a smile on his face on a football field.
He's so fun. He was one of the first people I kind of met. And, you know, you hear all these great stories about him. He's the guy that always sticks around to clean up the locker room by himself after every single game. And he really brought some electricity to that homecoming win against Memphis when he returned that punt for a touchdown after getting several called back this year. But, yeah, he's just one of those fun players to watch with such an electric personality.
Now, Maddie, what is your take? And I think it was important before the game, and it's not in limbo. My understanding that Coach Fritz is coming back to Tulane, and he's not going to Georgia Tech. Because you look at past Tulane success, and former coaches have parlayed that into their next job. So I think that's significant that it looks like Coach Fritz is going to be on board with Tulane in the future.
Oh, 100%. And just the idea that, you know, I think this came down to him wanting to coach this final game out. And that's a principle you don't see often happen, you know, when this is kind of a business first industry. But yeah, just again, the fact that the whole mantra this season was really, you know, believing in themselves and seeing this out till the end. I think that he really felt strongly about that. But just the reaction these past couple days, the fact that the game tickets sold out in just a few hours, that's not something that happens at Tulane University. And I went there. I just think that Willie Fritz has really changed, you know, the legacy of Tulane football. And we are very lucky to have him.
Now, Maddie, because, you know, the quarterback gets too much of the glory, too much of the blame. But you look at the quarterback situation at Tulane, with Pratt and all. So what is your take on that going forward?
So I was just kind of talking earlier about how I don't think Michael Pratt almost gets enough credit. He's really not the one that's ever losing games. And I said that kind of same thing about quarterbacks. But he's also not someone that's going to be the hero at the expense of the team. And I just think he's shown every week, you know, he improved his completion percentage by like 10% this year. He threw for multiple career highs week after week, 3 or 4 weeks without an interception. And he has such quick legs and the ability to take off. But it's the fact that he really just tries to be a quarterback first. And it's just, again, such a leader. He knows everyone's assignments at all times. And I think the guys really look to him for guidance. And I think, you know, his press conference on Tuesday was really strong and just showed that, you know, this team has been focused and that nothing's really going to deter them. And I think that all kind of starts with their quarterback. And they couldn't really ask for more out of Michael Pratt, I don't think.
You know, Maddie, when I look at this, to me, this is an accomplishment considering the success they've had recently. Cincinnati, you know, a 32-game home winning streak. And then all of a sudden, Tulane's able to break that. But you look at the conference overall, you look at the AAC, now it's going to change next year. But right now, look at like three teams in the top 25. And then Tulane just stopped Cincinnati's bid for a three-peat. And then you get to have a chance to avenge your only conference loss come Saturday against the UCF Knights. I mean, that to me is like almost like a movie. A perfect scenario to close out the season, going into possibly you win, then you're in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, we all heard the Cotton Bowl. Matty, I don't know if you're old enough, but I'm looking at the Rose Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl. That's like old school for Tulane to be in that predicament.
And just again, when you consider what the situation was last year, and yeah, this is, and to add to that, it's the only team that they haven't beat this year that's also leaving the conference for the Big 12. So it would be a nice send-off to really beat all of them. And you just get the sense that, you know, that was the game that got away from Tulane. But the way that they've won these games this year, you know, against Houston with Kai Horton coming in when he wasn't supposed to start and winning in overtime, as you said, ending 32. And I think it was something like 5 years of a home winning streak for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And having to actually win the game, if that makes sense. You know, it wasn't a complete blowout. It was a very even game, a stressful game in real time. And when Cincinnati took the lead, Tulane very decisively took it right back in a way that you haven't seen the offense have that kind of command in the passing game all game. And they just always seem so patient and not willing to panic and abandon the game plan to kind of, you know, plug a leak in that moment. And just that calm stillness, I think you saw it a lot of the time last year, and especially in the way that they didn't fall apart off the field. Because when you only win two games and one's against an FCS school, yeah, it's easy to really see in-team fighting. But the fact that it's almost the exact same lineup as last year, they only lost Jeffrey Johnson to the transfer portal, and these all the guys all stayed for something that they really just believed in and created themselves. I've said that several times. It really does feel like a movie, especially with, you know, Tulane and kind of their recent history since not being kind of in those bowls for a really long time now. The fact that they're very firmly looking at that with it right in front of them, just going one more win this year, it really has just been a pleasure to witness.
Now, you know, Maddie, when you look at, obviously, you get to play Central Florida again, and what's going to come about? I mean, I think they scored enough points. I was kind of disappointed with the defense because the linebackers, you look at the whole defensive unit, and I'd be surprised. Listen, Plumlee's talented. Now he's coming back from an injury, and what's going to come about with that? But how well, you know, he's run the ball. And, you know, they're going to utilize two quarterbacks, but to me, you know what? I think if Tulane wins or not, you know, everyone looks at Pratt and Spears and all what you do offensively. I think it's the Tulane defense, whether they win or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could look at both sides of the ball in that game last time because just the drops by wide receivers were very uncharacteristic. It was more reminiscent of last season. They quickly shored it up, but I think the defense was just very caught off guard by the fact that John Rhys Plumlee runs track speed. And when it's something that is looking like it's involving a hamstring, I just think that that one edge of having that little bit of speed, but the defense just seems so motivated. And when you look at that last game, you know, he had 145 of his 176 rushing yards in the first quarter, and he had a 42-yard and a 76-yard run. So that was pretty much two really, really bad plays with bad consequences, but I really liked the way that they played through that game until the end because they never had the lead and they never lost sight of trying to win that game. And it ended up only being a 7-point game when that game looked like a runaway, quite literally to start. So I agree. I tend to think that this will come down to the defense because I think the offense just has shown consistency these last few weeks and those quick quarterbacks are the only thing that gives Tulane defense trouble. But sitting in on some of the meetings this week, they just really are so well prepared for this scenario. And I think they've been preparing for this scenario since they lost that game.
Maddie Hudak, Tulane football sideline reporter. Maddie, thank you.
Thank you all for having me and roll wave.
Thanks, Maddie. Oh, roll wave. I like that, Maddie.
All right, let's squeeze in James in New Orleans. I've been patiently waiting. Go ahead, James, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. You're on WWL.
Hey, listen, guys, I'm a kind of blitz you with all of this, all right? So,
blitz me, James.
So Jack Rabbit signed today with San Francisco. You talked about those interceptions. I think we could both agree we would have got more than two with him on the field. We could have got him he should have been there like day one. Anyways, Kyle Pitts is out for the season.
Yeah, with the Falcons, yep.
Yeah, the funny thing about Kyle Pitts is he's the most talented guy on the team. I love their coach. You know, I hate Atlanta, but I love the coach. He's a far better coach than we have here. But he just don't fit. He just don't know how to use Kyle Pitts. You look at his numbers, he would be better off with a Sean Payton offense. And what is it, Royce and Winfield Jr.? They may both miss the game this Monday. I know the kid Logan, he's going to be back, and he's a very intelligent corner. And I expect a lot of fire zone with cover three on the back end, especially like you mentioned, Bobby, thinking about putting Jameis in there. I don't care what guys say. I get guys on Facebook telling me all the time, I don't really care. Our coach sucks. The quarterback sucks. But we still got a good team.
Hey, James, I got a question for you. Because I know you breed this 24/7. That, right? Okay, you know, you take it one game at a time. You look at, boy, I thought we tackled well. Our defense came to play. And obviously we didn't take care of business against the 49ers. But look where Tampa Bay and Atlanta's at. And the reason why I bring that up, so come Monday night, we beat the Buccaneers, and then we go into the bye week, and you beat the Falcons. Now, I don't know what's going to happen at Cleveland, and you got to go play at Philadelphia and all that. But don't you think the fan base, the Who Dat Nation, if all of a sudden we finally win back-to-back games. Now, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But if you were to beat, because it's kind of two for one, you beat the Buccaneers on Monday night, and then you have the bye week, and then you beat Atlanta, that's basically, I mean, it's not exactly a month, but it's almost like a month of success. All of a sudden, we're ready to party. Who that? We, you know, we'll be coming around. What, James, what do you think about that? Are you all of a sudden, you're going to wait and see what's going to happen after that? But you almost have to be optimistic if all of a sudden we can win back-to-back games because they're two division games next.
So here's what I think, Bobby. I said this week three, please sign Malcolm Brown, defensive tackle, and I mean a running back, and the kid Williams, who plays guard, tackle, or center. They're still out there in the same vein as Jack Rabbit waited the whole season practically and is about to get paid. Those guys are out there too. And the reason why I wanted to sign Malcolm Brown, is because when we face Cordell Patterson, who's going to run over us, when we go to Cleveland with Chubb over there, guys like that, they're going to run over us.
Do you think a guy on the street, like there's no magic elixir here that is going to be – you know, applied to the Saints that is automatically going to fix them.
But no, James is like a GM that looks for personnel. Okay, Christian, let me tell you why James somewhat makes success and how these older veteran players look in their opportunity. You know who just signed with the Eagles? Adamakin Sue.
Because with the Eagles, who are 10-1.
Wait. So who did Jack Rabbit go to? The 49ers.
Who are also making a postseason run.
Okay, they look at, I'm saying, that's what James is saying, that these players, you might have veterans, that's going to be going into the future, that you got players. They wait and choose where they want to go because their chances. Okay, listen.
Odell Beckham Jr. too.
Exactly, Odell Beckham, but where is he going to end up? Who knows? You can't stay asleep on a plane, or you can't hassle the stewardess. Come on, you can't be. You gotta understand. Even though you might think you're different, you know, you're just like a regular citizen. You can't challenge, the stewardess. The bottom line, even though you might think she's out of line, you can't challenge her. But you know what happened? I'm looking at the Eagles. I remember when Adamakin Sue, because I think, man, why does Adamakin Sue could still play? I think against the run. The Eagles got gash, I want to say, against the Washington Commanders. And all of a sudden, Adamakin Sue and his people, they're probably telling the Eagles, well, not necessarily I'm going to make any plays. Not necessarily I'm going to make, all these tackles. But I'm going to occupy blockers and be disruptive to stop the run game. All of a sudden, the Eagles stop them. And then you look at, Andrews coming to play. You look at Jack Rabbit. All I know is the Saints got two interceptions. Don't you think Jack Rabbit's instincts, like James was saying, though? That's why, I mean, those kind of players, you might think they're old, but all of a sudden, you prorate their contract and they're playing for a month or whatever. They still got a lot left in the tank. Chris, you don't think Jack Rabbit will have success with the 49ers?
With the 49ers, yes.
Oh, okay, do you think Adamakin Sue with the Eagles?
Yes, the Eagles.
Yeah. That,
will they have the same success with the Saints? Probably not. They wouldn't fit. They wouldn't. It wouldn't be, now all of a sudden they're going to rip off three, four straight wins?
No, but you don't think Jack Rabbit can maybe take it away?
Maybe take a chance? Not like he used to.
No, yeah, that's true.
I mean, we're just sitting here talking about how we saw the Honey Badger get old before our eyes.
Oh, that definitely happened. I think James would agree with that.
Well, Fleetwood Mac going out, Christine McVie died today at 79.
That's too young.
This 79? Is Sports Talk. Don't tell me lies. This is Sports Talk here.
Christian tells me a bunch of lies every day.
Bobby and Christian back here on Sports Talk. Al and Hammond, what's going on? Al, you're on WWL.
Hey, how's everything?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Al.
Hey, just, you know, y'all know more about this than me, but doesn't it seem like the Saints just have an affection for, like, older players, and maybe they don't get rid of them soon enough? And
that's a good point. That's a good point, Al. Because it's always better to get rid of a player a year too soon than a year too late. So,
right.
That being said, it's like, okay, look, we love Jarvis Landry. We love Tyrann Mathieu. But I would say, like Tyrann Mathieu, there's a reason why maybe the Chiefs didn't pay him. And you look at Jarvis Landry, he was dealing with some injuries. I still think Jarvis Landry probably has more left in the tank than Tyrann Mathieu. So, listen, we love them. Come on, they're homegrown, LSU Tigers and all that. But, that makes sense. That even Deuce will tell you this, that the theory is what teams do, Al, is better get rid of a player a year too soon than a year too late because what you're having to pay them and all that. No, because when you're paying a player big bucks, you're not paying them for what they have already accomplished. You're supposed to be paying them for the future. So there's a big difference there.
What they're projected to contribute.
Yeah, what they're projected to contribute. Yeah, go ahead.
And is it really true that, we could have had Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in that, Peyton, I think, definitely was in charge of the personnel, in that Peyton passed over Lamar Jackson to get Davenport?
Al, it went down like this.
Listen to what Christian's going to say.
On draft day 2017, the Saints had their intention was to take Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs jumped ahead of them, one pick, and grabbed him. So they took Marshawn Lattimore, who they had highly rated on their board. There was also discussions about potentially the Saints moving back into round one and getting Lamar Jackson. That didn't happen. I know, the following year. That didn't happen. They were talks, though, that they wanted to do that. That was something that they considered. But it just didn't happen. And look, Al, the craziest thing that we've learned, Bobby and I, about covering this team and covering the NFL in general, there are way more deals that fall through than actually come together.
That happened. Yeah. They're on the phone and they're calling, we're not going to do that. And then all of a sudden, you might have a handful plus that everybody just talking and nothing happens. And then something actually happens.
Let me add on something. Because those are going to, that would say, well, wait a minute, Drew Brees was still the quarterback. Drew had told the organization from after 2016, he was a year-to-year guy. He said that. And the truth of the matter is, had they drafted Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees might have retired in 2018 or 2019.
Well, he might have retired, or if you don't want to give up the ghost, then he might go somewhere else. You never know.
He said he was never going to leave. He was never going to play for anybody else but the Saints.
Man, if you pay a bunch of money, man, you come across. A player can tell you they're not going to play nowhere else but the Saints. Come on, you started with the Chargers, came to the Saints.
I'm just saying, at that point in his career, he said he was year to year with the Saints and the Saints only.
Man, Tom Brady retired in the same season. You know, you got fall, winter, spring, and summer. Didn't Tom Brady say, I'm done? And then before you know it, he's not done.
35 days later.
So I don't know about that. Listen, Drew Brees, I still think
he couldn't have played for anybody else. He was under contract.
Okay, but then he'd have forced the Saints' hands. Okay, listen, y'all going with Pat Mahomes, you got to let me go. It might have been like Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love thing and all that. You don't know what's going to happen. I think Drew Brees, when he gave up the ghost, that timing was right. But as far as listen, Pat Mahomes. See, you don't know if Pat Mahomes is going to work out.
Drew seriously considered retirement after the Nola no call. Like, that took a lot out of him.
Christian, I felt so discouraged. I can tell you this, in 1992 after we lost to the Eagles, I want to say that year we were 12-4. What? I thought I was playing awesome the first half. I want to say I had over 200 yards passing. And then we're trying to do the same plays in the second half. Ain't nothing freaking working. And then I would tell you that story. We playing the Eagles and Reggie White and all them. And, Christian, we got like a 10-point lead. Now, we can't close the deal. To show you how monumental this was, you know, your family and everyone's involved, your wife and everything, because they live with you. And all of a sudden, my wife knew how disheartened and how crushed I was when we lost to the Eagles in 1992, that she didn't want to hear nothing from nobody. She's hiding in the janitor's closet in the Superdome to avoid people until I come out. I was so beat up and all that. She is waiting for me to come out so she wouldn't have to talk to nobody. She's hiding in a freaking closet, in the janitor's closet, till I could come out so she don't have to talk to people. Oh, it's going to be okay. And this and that. She didn't want to hear that crap. We took off. I remember, never forget this, to Anguilla. You know, it wasn't Anguilla. It was Barbuda. It was part of Antigua and Barbuda. And all of a sudden, I went to Barbuda. And all of a sudden, it was a great vacation just trying to escape. And the Eagles end up playing the Cowgirls, I think, that next week. I never got so wasted in my life. Because I was so disheartened because we lost the damn Eagles game. Because we were there. I knew we were good. We had them where we want them, and it didn't happen.
You let them off the hook.
Let them off the hook.
This is sports talk.
And I'm telling you, my wife hid in the closet because she knew how disheartened she was and I was.
All right, we'll wrap up the show next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Bobby, you and I were talking during the break, and I'll spill it over into the show before we push out of here. Man, one of the things that I learned to appreciate when I was covering the Saints as a sideline reporter is just the mental and physical toughness, in particular, more so mentally than physically. Because after a loss, you go in that locker room, it was incredibly uncomfortable. But you go in a locker room, they didn't do anything to make it uncomfortable. Just the dejection that these players dealt with after a defeat of literally sitting at their locker, still some of them dressed, half-dressed in their uniform.
Without a doubt.
Staring off into space. Just like complete, what the heck just happened?
Well, because you put everything into this and all of a sudden you think, like, I'm prepared for this test. I'm going to win, and then you fail. Because either you win or lose. Mm-hmm. And then when you lose, you got to one snap it clear, and then you got to do it all over again. You know how I conquered that? I'm so glad my dad made me go bust my butt offshore working. And that I know, I said, I sure in the hell don't want to do this. I don't want no real job. So all the adversity I've ever faced in football, I was like, well, you got to come on. You got to get over it. You got to be strong. You got to be mentally tough. You got to handle adversity. Once that's clear, and you got to move on. Versus if it had been like, if it don't work out, I'll go do something else. It was like, no, I have to make it work. And that's why it could be very discouraging. And right now what the Saints are dealing with could be very discouraging. But who's tough? That's why Dennis Allen, Mickey Loomis, I look at who can handle it. You know who's handling it? Taking advantage of opportunity? Look at Kate Nellis. Look all of a sudden Zach Bond this past game. You know, that means they're handling it.
Yeah.
And they're getting it done. So that's why you have to look at each individual player and are they going through the motions or it is truly a priority in their life. Pro football has to be a priority.
Your number one priority.
This has to be, if you want this to be your lifestyle, look how you well compensated. Come on. People would love to have your ability to be compensated this way. That's why you can never feel like, you can't be treat the players like prima donnas. Hell with that. You got to hold them accountable because they're well compensated. And look, if they succeed, then you're going to praise them. If they don't, you're going to hold their feet to the fire. What's wrong with that?
Thanks to Charlie, Diane, and Steve. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out. Bobby, do you think?
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that go, Saints? We're going to beat the Bucks. I'm telling you, on Monday night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.